SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, hour three of C2C on a Misery Monday. Still 6-0 Mets. They're in the top of the third, runner on one out over the Dodgers at Dodger Stadium. Remember, game one of the ALCS tonight in the Bronx, 7:38 or so. Cleveland against the Yankees should be good. We've got Jerry Allen with us. A pleasure, the legendary voice of the Oregon Ducks. What a game Saturday night at Outson and Eugene. What a scene there on Saturday all day with the game day show there. And then just a fantastic classic of a football game, Jerry. I got to tell you, I thought Gabriel was fantastic. He had the 27-yard tutty run in the fourth quarter early on that gave him a lead. But Ohio State went down the field and kicked a field goal. And I think it was about a 40-yarder or something. But then Oregon got down and kicked one. Atticus Savington kicked one. And that was the difference. But for me, Gabriel was the difference in the game. Not to forget about Jordan James' big game. I thought he ran the ball terrifically for the Ducks. But talk about what Gabriel brings to the table for Dan Lanning.
Well, Scott, thanks for having me on. Dylan Gabriel brings calm to the offense. He brings composure to the offense. And I don't care how tight it is or what's going on. He just has a presence about him. I mean, he's a veteran, so one would expect that. But you never see him upset. You get a good look in his face on a camera shot. He just looks in control. And I think that's the biggest thing that he brings other than the skill set that he has.
I mean, 23 of 34 for 341. The touchdown, ran for 32 yards, four carries, none bigger than that tutty. What a scene that place is for college football. Like, I'm watching a game, I'm just like, what an atmosphere, what a stadium. I've been there. It's just a terrific place to watch a game. It's the most beautiful setting. I'd say Pasadena, the Rose Bowl, and the stadium at Eugene Outson are the two most beautiful college football stadiums I've ever been to in my life.
Well, I appreciate that. To be compared to the Rose Bowl at Pasadena, the granddaddy of them all, that's pretty special. It's unbelievable that 60,000 fans, Scott, can sound as loud as they do. The configuration of the stadium with an overhang. We talked to some Ohio State fans afterwards who said that's the loudest football game they've ever been a part of. So it's pretty special. The view, the Cascade Mountains, the Willamette Valley, we're pretty spoiled. We like it. And so it's fun to call it our home.
I got to tell you, I thought Will Howard played, really well for Ohio State. I know that some people would blame him at the end of the game for running too far, too many yards, and sliding too late, and the clock was eaten at that point, and the game was over. I thought that the kid Smith was fantastic, the receiver, but I thought his pass interference play is what killed Ohio State. They were already in field goal position to win the game, and his offensive pass interference shove, I thought, frankly, now some people would say one play doesn't make a game, but I would, argue that fact. That play ruined the game for Ohio State.
Yeah, those plays in the end of a game or in a situation are magnified because of where they are in the game. And when that penalty was called offensive pass interference, we thought, and my broadcast partner, Mike Jorgensen, Jorgie and I went, well, we need to look at this. Well, was that really pass interference? And if Smith hadn't extended both arms out with that really hard push, he might have got away with it, just a little one, or maybe one hand. But a tough call for Ohio State. Will Howard, to me, and I tweeted this out for Ohio State fans, I said, please support that kid. He is a great quarterback, great football player. And I thought he had a really, really good game. But in the heat of the moment, he's trying to win the game. And you can never be down on a kid for trying to win a game for you.
I mean, I got to tell you, they're so loaded, that team, with talent. Anytime you go from Columbus to Eugene, you got a problem on your hands. Anyone that flies all the way out there has a problem on their hands. And it proved true again. But at the end of the day, you woke up today as the number two team in the country, and they went from 3-4 or 2-4. So, you know, I respect them more than I do Alabama. When Alabama leapfrogged everyone from 4 to number 1 after they blew a 30-7 lead against Georgia and then somehow had a big 75-yard touchdown to win the game, they went to number one. Meanwhile, Texas and Ohio State both won big that day and got leapfrogged. And I thought that was a grave mistake in the rankings. And this one, I don't believe they screwed up. I do believe that Ohio State should not fall further than 2 spots. That's how good they are. They're going to be in a playoff. I still think that they can play for a national championship.
Yeah, they're the most talent-laden team that we've seen in a long, long time. I mean, they got a lot of guys that are going to play on Sunday. I was impressed with them, and I was concerned about Ohio State coming in because I knew how good they were. I mean, both sides of the ball. So I wanted to see how Oregon would stack up against them, and I was impressed with Oregon because they had a great game plan. They played Dan Lanning football, and I would have been pleased to see Oregon and Ohio State just flip-flop in the polls. Ohio State dropped to 3 and Oregon move up to number 2. That probably is more realistic for me.
So, Jerry, do you think that it helps that you're playing Purdue on Friday night at Ross-Ade in West Lafayette? I was stunned to see them play that well at Champaign-Urbana against the ranked Illini because everyone else has smacked Purdue 6 ways till Sunday. They get blown out. They've looked awful, but they didn't look bad at all on Saturday. I literally almost fell over with the game 50-49 they lost. It was crazy. Do you think you guys have a problem on your hands coming off of such an enormous game at home and having to go to West Lafayette to play that team that has, you know, found their confidence at the very least?
Probably them losing the way they did in a game against Illinois got Oregon's attention more than it would have. It got mine more. I mean, I think I was looking forward to going to Purdue with a team that's struggling, not having a very good year, may not be very good. And then all of a sudden they do that. It opens your eyes and makes you realize, okay, this is college football. Maybe it takes some guys or some teams 2 or 3 weeks to come together and get that continuity. Well, have they all of a sudden done that? Right now, Purdue has Oregon's attention. And so Oregon might have got a big win if Purdue had not played the way they did. Oregon might be headed to Purdue with a different thought process. I think they're dialed in now because of the way Purdue played.
I like the way Lanning's running the program. They have to think very highly of the performance that he's put on since he's been there.
He is different, Scott. I've been there 37 years, and I've had some great college coaches, football coaches come through there. Every one of them I respected. Some of them are really good friends. Dan Lanning is different. He just has a different way of looking at everything. You watch him in practice, he sees every player. He coaches every player, not just the defense, not just the offense. He's got, I've said he's got one of those minds or brains that recalls and sees everything. He comes from, you know, Georgia. He comes from Alabama. He's had some great coaches to lift him up and teach him. He's special. I told him when he got here, I think you are the coach that will win Oregon's first national championship. I truly believe that.
Wow. I can't wait to see if they can do it. I think they have some tough games left in Ann Arbor, but I don't think Michigan has a quarterback. I think the game in Camp Randall is going to be a problem for you because they found their way all of a sudden, and they looked real good in Piscataway on Saturday. And then you finish with the Huskies at home. I think you handle Maryland. I think you'll get Illinois at home, and they're not going to know what hit them at Outson. But I think you'll still beat Purdue. I don't know if it's going to be close or not. Listen, Jerry, you're just so fantastic calling Ducks games all these years. Such a legendary voice. So brilliant at your job. Always a thrill to have you on the show. Class act. Great game. Great job on Saturday. I'm glad you got to enjoy a classic.
Thank you, Scott.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
to tell you, I felt bad for the kid, Howard. It was such a great game, and to end it on that play was so just painful to watch. I was like, are you kidding? He ran out of time. He didn't stop. He didn't. All he had to do was go a few yards, and it would have been like a 45-yarder. All he had to do was go down, and he ran too far, and the clock ran out. I mean, it was like idiot hour. But I felt bad for him because I thought the kid – I mean, he went for 326 and two tutties. I thought he was fantastic. I thought he and Gabriel put on a hell of a show.
I really thought the entire last minute with Ohio State with the ball, clock management-wise, was a little bit of idiot hour. I thought they shot themselves in the foot with a few things. And I know they got the – they thought they were in range, and they had the offensive pass interference, and the, you know, there was an issue where there was a penalty called, and the clock still ran, but that was allegedly allowed by the great referee that they had on there, whoever was part of the broadcast. 6 seconds left, you can't scramble. It's a throw or nothing. Like you've got to throw the football to the sidelines or throw the football. Period. I just don't think there was enough time to try to pull off what he was trying to do. Here it is, I should say. The big finish Saturday night on NBC as Ohio State's trying to get into field goal range against Oregon.
Down here at the bottom for Jeremiah Smith. Third and 20. Howard, a lot of time coming off. Howard's going to run for it. Time runs out, and that'll do it.
Oh, my goodness.
Welcome to the Big Ten, Oregon. They storm the field at Autzen, and the Ducks win this bout 32-31.
Well, Mike, I wasn't going to say anything to Jerry and upset him or whatever, but I got to tell you, I thought that kid, Holden, spitting on that player was as bad as it gets, and I think he should sit for a week. I really do. Like, what was that kid thinking when he lugged on the other guy? Like, are you kidding me? What was that about?
You can't have it. Absolutely cannot have it whatsoever, and I'm with you. That's a minimum. Minimum a week. You want to go further than that. And that's on the team to do that. You know, you're not going to see probably the Big Ten suspend him or anything like that. Team's going to have to go and show a little backbone and sit the kid down for a little bit, because that was completely uncalled for in that spot. Huge win for Oregon over Ohio State. Maybe we'll see that again down the road. You never know, whether it's Big Ten title game or even the college football playoff. Elsewhere, number 13 LSU beats number 9 Ole Miss 29-26 in overtime. This was another one. Ole Miss completely threw this game away down the stretch. I mean, they had like four fourth downs they had to stop on defense, and the game would have been over. Instead, they let LSU tie it. We go to overtime. Ole Miss kicks a field goal, and then LSU, Tyron Lacy on ABC doing the honors.
Tyron Lacy, the motion man. Fake Nussmeier goes back, shoulder, touchdown! Tyron Lacy, and LSU wins!
Wow, they don't lose under the lights in Death Valley. I know that much. And it's the only thing, in my view, that Kelly's done well in Baton Rouge. He wins at night. That's it. And that was a big win for them. They needed that.
They certainly did, Doug. They go to 5-1 now on the season. And that's a second loss for Ole Miss, and as we know, they were one of those teams that people thought could be in the playoff this year. Getting late early, that's for sure, when it comes to how many games you lose. We don't know if two is going to be enough when we get further into the season. All right, next, how about Alabama? So they lose to Vandy last week. This week, another close call, and man, South Carolina had opportunities. They had a lead in this game in the fourth quarter. Alabama went ahead. South Carolina missed the two-point conversion. And I know you saw it, Scotty. That kid on the two-point conversion play was
wide open
on the right side of the end zone, and the kid threw it about 15 rows over his head. And he was wide open, should have been a two, could have tied it. So Alabama survives. Here is Kalen DeBoer. These have been getting very sticky for us every week. Lots of close games.
You know, another game down to the wire. We're kind of getting accustomed to those. You know, I think there's some things that we can certainly do to make sure that it doesn't get to that point. You know, we always talk about finding a way to win. And as many times it maybe looked like we weren't, you know, we did. And you know, the guys I guess I'm the biggest thing I'm proud of is the response, starting early in the week.
Yeah, I think they're, somewhere between decent and good. I don't think they're anything more than good. I do not think they're that good. I think they're decent to good. Somewhere in the middle, right there. Is there such an island fair to Midland? I am not impressed by their play at all against Georgia, against Vanderbilt, or certainly against, I think, a hack South Carolina team. South Carolina is not even good, and they gave them the business. And I'm telling you, I keep going back to the 30-7 blown lead against Georgia. Now, I think Georgia's better than those teams. And, you know, people crystallized Georgia and Alabama. They put them on the shelf above everyone else. And they're just not there this year. I thought that Kid Beck was great on Saturday, but they barely beat Mississippi State, who is porous. Yep. And it took that guy throwing for almost, 400 yards and five touchdowns, whatever it was, to win the game, 41-31. They could barely beat that crappy team. So I think they're both, people have vaulted them above everyone else, and they don't deserve to be there. Alabama certainly doesn't deserve to be above anybody else. They're right where they should be at best at 7.
Right, and they will now go to Tennessee this week, who had their own problems this past Saturday.
They had no business
against
winning
Florida.
Either.
A game that they needed overtime to beat Florida at home, 23-17, that they won that game, 23-17 in OT. Mertz tore his ACL in that game for Florida,
done.
But either way. So Tennessee loses to Arkansas, very close win against a bad Florida team. Alabama loses to Vandy, close win against a bad South Carolina team. They play Saturday in Tennessee. I see right now early in the week that Alabama's a 2.5-point favorite. Interesting game. One of a couple of really big games this week.
I don't know which way to lean. I don't buy the Vols anymore that they're so awesome because they're not. And I definitely don't buy Alabama. They're not either.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I'm under a tremendous strain here. For 1 minute, I thought we were going to have Scoop Mish, but it's the next segment with Scoop, and then we're still rocking college football now. He almost pulled a fast one on me, Carver Hyde. You see him trying to sneak in early.
He was trying to do that to you, but you were able to pivot very quickly, and now here we go. We'll try to get the rest of the college football in.
With the pivot.
Notre Dame had no problem with Stanford, 49-7, smashed them on Saturday in South Bend. That's what you're supposed to do to teams like Stanford. Clemson smashed Wake Forest 49-14. So Clemson has got the ball rolling a little bit after losing that opening game of the year to Georgia. Suddenly they're looking good. Missouri needed to get back on track. They did, 45-3 in Amherst. Texas beat Oklahoma 34-3, Scotty. The Oklahoma offense non-existent. I didn't think Texas was great in the game, but Oklahoma was so bad that's where you get 34-3 from a game like that.
That game was awful. The USC cover was way better. I think they blew the game. Penn State beat them, but that was a way better game at the Coliseum.
It's like Ole Miss. You should have won the game outright. I mean, you had Penn State right there for the taking, and you knew when the game went to overtime. Thankfully, they held on for the cover. At least they covered the game. But you knew when they went to overtime they weren't going to beat Penn State. 33-30, they get the job done. Pitt won but didn't cover. 17-15, but they're still 6-0. Pitt Panthers still
unbeaten,
getting it done.
And they don't care about covers.
They don't care about them. Illinois beat Purdue 50-49 in overtime. That was a wild game where Illinois yacked up a huge lead in that one. BYU continues to win.
That was the other game of the day. It was Oregon, Ohio State, and Illinois, Purdue. That was the craziest football game in Champaign, Urbana that you could ever fathom. I mean, it was crazy because Purdue stinks, and they showed up.
They showed up in a big way. BYU continues to impress. They pulled away from Arizona in the second half, 41-19.
They're unbeatable in
Provo.
That's
a team. They are unbeatable in Provo. You already mentioned that Georgia really messed around with Mississippi State all day, who's probably the worst team in the SEC this year, 41-31. I mean, they were laying, what was it, like 32, 33 and a half points
yeah.
in that game, and they only won by 10, so not impressive. Vandy with another win, beating Kentucky 20-13. So Vandy having a nice bounce back year here for Clark Leah. Late night, Kansas State beat Colorado 31-28. That was a pretty good game if you stayed up till 2 o'clock in the morning on the East Coast.
I did.
That was a lot of fun. You did. Watched. You stayed up for that
I
one.
Watched, and I got to tell you, Hunter got hurt, his shoulder, so that's a huge loss for them. I don't know how long he's going to be out. It could hurt his Heisman chances.
It could hurt his Heisman chances. Speaking of Heisman chances, Genty late night for Boise State. I think he had two or three touchdowns, but they really didn't, smash Hawaii. 28-7 was the final. Didn't get the over either.
They covered by a hook.
They covered by a hook. This was Friday night. Arizona State did beat Utah 27-19. Cam Rising threw three picks.
I'm sick of hearing about Cam Rising. I'm sick and tired of it. He sucks. They suck. Get them out of the top 25. I swear to God, if I look right now and they're still ranked, hold on a second.
I am about to give you that information. They are not ranked anymore, by the way, as we get ready to give you that. The number one team, though, this week is Texas, with Oregon up to number two. Penn State, Ohio State, and Georgia round out the top five. The U is at number six. Then Alabama, LSU, Iowa State still playing some good football. Indiana up to number 16. And how about this for the first time? There it is. Give the song. First time since the 60s, both Army and Navy are in the top 25. Army's 23rd, Navy is 25th. So how about that for both of the service academies getting involved in the top 25? Throughout the week, you talk about a heavy hitter week here. Honestly, I already gave you Alabama and Tennessee. That's going on Saturday afternoon. Of course, Georgia's playing Texas on Saturday night. You have got Michigan, Illinois this week. You have got Miami, Louisville. Notre Dame's going to Georgia Tech, who's 5-2, been pretty good. Lots of really good college football games this week for us.
Wow. I mean, the stress of it all. And then BYU's got another game in Provo Friday night against Oklahoma State. I think they should be able to whack them. Oklahoma State's been pretty average, if you ask me. Notre Dame going to Georgia Tech. Miami and Louisville is going to be huge.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You know him as Craig Mish on Newswire and on SportsGrid, and I know him as Scoop Mish. He's on a whole nother level with us over here on Coast to Coast, setting the standard of baseball reporting around the universe and covering the Marlins as well. Before I talk about this terrible NLCS, who are you hearing the Marlins want to hire as their manager?
I think that they may end up hiring somebody who has been in the playoffs. There's a number of names that are out there. I'm not really sure how deep it's going to go yet, but there's two names in particular that I think that they have interest in. One is the bench coach on Cleveland. His name is Craig Abernaz. I think that there's a possibility there. The other is a coach that's on the Philadelphia Phillies, just got eliminated, named Dusty Wathen. You may be familiar with him. He's been with them a long time too. I think they're going to interview probably 5-6 people. I don't see this being like they interviewed like 20, 30 people with Skip Schumacher. I don't think it's going to be that deep. I think they have an idea in terms of relationships as to who they want, Scott. So I would imagine immediately after the World Series is over, you'll start to hear things are getting hot. But I do think it could end up being somebody who's currently in the postseason right now. And let's be honest, you never know how things can go. Yankees get knocked out in four. Maybe the Yankees are looking for a new manager. Dodgers get knocked out in five. Maybe the Dodgers are looking for a new manager. You never know.
Well, Schumacher, I heard, was going to be a hot commodity after he left Miami. Are you buying that?
Yeah, I mean, yes, I think he's going to manage again, but it has to be in the right situation. You hear stuff, Scott, and not a lot of it is true. I mean, that's just the reality. There's only 30 of these gigs, and it has to be the right scenario, the right team, the right GM. And let's be honest, it has to be the right owner, too, because no matter what happens in baseball, and Scott, I think this is probably the biggest fallacy of all. People think that it's the general manager that hires the manager. It is not. The general manager says, this is who I want to hire. And then they go to the owner, and then the owner makes that decision, which is what happened in Cincinnati, right? Like, I mean, how do you think that Terry Francona all of a sudden, Scott, comes out of nowhere and he's the manager? Did you even hear about any other interviews?
No.
Do you remember when the White Sox hired Tony La Russa a few years ago? Did you even hear about any other interviews? The owners are hiring the manager in the end. Now, the general manager and the presidents, they make the recommendations, but that's how it goes down. So is Skip going to manage again in the big leagues? Absolutely. Can I guarantee it's going to be this year? No, I have no idea.
Were you surprised the Pirates kept Cherington and Shelton? Because some people got really mad that Tito got that job in Cincinnati and that they just stayed with who they had, and they've been so miserable. Listen, besides Paul Skeens, they're awful.
Well, Brian Reynolds is a good player. You know,
whatever.
O'Neill Cruz is a good player and Jared Jones is a good player. I think, Scott, the deal is that they feel like they're on the cusp of being competitive. And I think they felt like they showed enough last year to give them another shot. But if the Pirates were to finish, let's say, below 500 again next season, I think Shelton would be looking for another job. I don't know what Ben Cherington's relationship is with Bob Nutting. And again, that's how owners and GMs get hired and fired. And I would imagine that he's under some restrictions in terms of what he can do financially. And so I think that has to factor into the equation. But first comes the manager, then comes the president and the general manager. So Shelton would be one of those managers going into next season that you would say has to win more than he loses, or else he'll probably be looking for another job.
So what do you think, Scoop, of this NLCS? 9-0 last night. Flaherty was dealing. The Mets couldn't get on base, couldn't get hits. And then today, Vientos grand slam breakfast, and they're up 6-0. Both games, 9-0, 6-0. You can't even make this up.
It's going to be a long series. I mean, look, that's just the nature of what the Dodgers are at this point. They're uber-talented on offense. They have no pitching at this point, one or two guys that can get them 5 or 6 innings. And so, Scott, when you play against an elite team like the Mets, and they may beat the Mets and get to the World Series, but for the Dodgers, because of this deficiency in their rotation, no matter how you look at it, and I understand they had 33 scoreless innings going into it, eventually they're going to get bombed. And that's what happened today. And by the way, it's probably going to happen again in this series. So it's hard for the Dodgers to just roll without having starting pitching like Kershaw, like Buehler. I mean, these things don't exist anymore. And so it is Flaherty and then a bullpen and then Yamamoto and then a bullpen. And that's just not sustainable to win a series quickly. Now, can they win the whole thing? Absolutely. I mean, on offense, who's more talented than they are? So this is not all that surprising to me. I think the Mets are very much in this. I think they'll be in it throughout. And it probably goes 6 or 7 games.
Before I ask you about the Mets, Kershaw said today he's coming back next year.
Right.
I almost fell over. Like, he's shot.
Yeah, look, you know, the thing is with a guy like Kershaw, Scott, is that like Roger Clemens used to do in the past, you may remember, he'd sit out like April, May, and then try to come back June, July, August. We see that now with Verlander, who sits out time, Scherzer, who sits out time. The same thing will happen with Kershaw. So, Scott, what'll happen is he'll go to spring training, he'll pitch on the backfields, make some minor league starts. You'll see him in like May or June, and then they'll just preserve him for the postseason. So when he says he's coming back next season, I think it's legit. When, you know, if the FanDuel Sportsbook posted a 14.5 starts on the season for Clayton Kershaw, of course, I'd bet the under. But I'd bet the over on like 10.5 from August, September, and in October, because that's all they really want him for.
So, you know, Manaea has blown my mind because you said to me in the break, he's never been good. He's always been a mess. But boy, has he been hot for the last couple of months.
I saw him pitch in person earlier this year. Like, he wasn't good at all. And he's been on several teams in several years. He's never been able to put it together. In fact, Scott, I'm going to have to jog my memory here. Back in March, Manaea pitched in a spring training game. I think it was against the Marlins. I don't think it was a regular season game. He pitched a spring training game. He got absolutely crushed, and he cut all his hair off. He cut all his – I mean, he had this huge haircut and from a spring training game. And I remember sitting there with my son. My son's like, oh, this guy's not going to have a good year. And here we are. It's so funny what happens in the postseason. Heroes are made. You never know what's going to happen. And he is hot and pitching great at the right time. And that's all that matters. Now the question is, can he cash in on some of this? And my guess is some team will probably take a shot on him. It reminds me a lot of Jordan Montgomery last year. Now, Montgomery was a better pitcher over the course of his career than Manaea was. But look at what Montgomery got paid off, what, essentially 2-3 good months in Texas last year? And he didn't have one good start, I don't think, all year this year.
I don't think Montgomery will pitch for them again after the things that owner said about him. I really don't. Let me ask you about the ALCS starting tonight. I'm scared to death with Rodon going. He's the one guy that, I got to be honest with you, I don't trust.
Cleveland's got a great shot to win the series. I would pick them. I think Cleveland is the better team. I think. I'm just being honest. I gotta keep it real. Look, the only way the Yankees win this series is if the Judge and Soto have got to get hot together and get hot at the right time. I know that they beat Kansas City. The games are all really close. Cleveland is super opportunistic. You do not beat Cleveland if you're down after six innings. And the Yankees are going to be down in several of these games, 2-1 and 3-1 after six innings. I don't know what's going on. I mean, why do players have 60 home run seasons and then not hit in the postseason? I mean, it's hard to understand this. I mean, Shohei Ohtani, 50-50 during the regular season. But I will take Cleveland in this series. I do think Cleveland is advancing. I know no one wants to hear it, but I think they're advancing to the World Series.
So how about the people saying Class A is better than Mariano Rivera? That's just not possible.
Stop.
This is not possible. I couldn't believe Carpenter hit the home run off of him. I really couldn't believe it.
He's been hittable a little bit in the postseason, but they're also using him like they never have before for two innings, which is what everybody used to do when we were growing up.
Listen, and I said this earlier on the show today, I watched the Bob Prince interviews from the 1960 Pirates win over the Yankees in the World Series yesterday. It was fantastic stuff, and it was in color 64 years ago. It was good stuff. Scoop, always a pleasure. Love having you on. Enjoy the rest of the championship series.
You too.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Carver High, I know you got some hockey. Everybody loves hockey. They talk a little hockey. I love it.
Everybody does love hockey, indeed. Mets looking to add on, by the way. Two on, two out with Francisco Alvarez up at the plate, who's actually been the one Met, Scotty, who's done absolutely nothing in the playoffs so far. He's hitting like .120 during the playoffs.
He did have a hit last night.
That's very true. Some hockey stuff for you from the weekend, today, tonight, etc. Gino Malkin, 1,300th career point with an assist on Saturday night. Gino, that's a no. When you get 1,300 points in the NHL, that's no joke right there. So your boy Gino Malkin still adding a few on. Bad news for Macklin Celebrini, of course, the first overall pick in this year's draft. Sharks place him on IR week to week with a hip injury. Not the way to go. And then Alexander Barkov of the Panthers will miss 2 to 3 weeks with a lower body injury. Of course, nobody wanted to disclose his injury, Scotty. This is the NHL, after all.
See him slam into the boards?
Yes, I did. You could see exactly where it happened for Barkov. No Barkov, no problem for the Panthers today, as they won in Boston 4-3. So that's not bad. They've beaten the Bruins, what, twice in the first week of the season? Once down at their place, and then up in Boston. So good start for Florida. The Senators beat the Kings this afternoon in overtime, 8-7.
15.
Look out, with a 15 spot with the Sens and the Kings, and the Devils beat Utah 3-0. Nice 4-1 start for the Devils this year. I think that's the first game Utah lost as well.
It is.
This season. So they had gotten off to a great start. They won at the horse track and at the Garden on this trip before finally losing to the Devils today at the Rock. We have three games for you tonight. Red Wings are at the Garden against the Rangers this evening. Rangers -2. I got this now at 250 from 205 this morning.
Yeah.
Detroit now +210 and a 6.5 total.
Yeah, I like the Rangers in this one, and that's that, and probably an over too. I think they don't know what hit him the other night when they lost to Utah. I almost fell over.
Yeah, strange start for them here in the first week of the season. That's for sure. Penguins 1-2 so far into Montreal against the Canadiens this evening. Penguins are favorite at -140. I got them at now +120. For the Habs, and another 6.5 for us.
I'm on that 120 with Montreal at the Bell Center, to be honest with you. They've looked better than the Penguins, so you're giving me that kind of money at home, I'll take it.
I agree with you. I would take the plus money with the Habs at home as well against the Penguins tonight. And finally, the Islanders are in Colorado against the Avalanche. Two teams both have lost their first couple of games. Avalanche out to an 0-2 start, too. They are -165 right now. Islanders +135, 6.5 the total out at the ball.
I can get them at -155, the Avs right now, so I think they'll beat the Islanders tonight.
Yeah, I don't have much faith in the Islanders, honestly, Scotty, after watching them through the first couple of games. I didn't think they really made the right moves. I think they're the same team that they've been. Was a good coach, but I don't know if he's got enough to work with there this year. There you go. The hockey.
Everybody loves hockey.
For you tonight. Liberty beat the Lynx yesterday, 80-66, as the WNBA Finals are now tied.
They should be up two. They blew that first game. They were up 18. They blew it. They were up 15 in the fourth quarter, and they still blew it.
They absolutely blew the game. That's for sure. And now they will go back to – they will go to Minnesota – for game three on Wednesday night with it tied 1-1. And the Liberty are 2.5-point favorites on the road in that game three in Minnesota on Wednesday night.
Remember, they only play five games, so this game three is enormous.
And it's over fairly quickly. They're playing Wednesday, they're playing Friday, and then they're playing Sunday. That's it. So they stretched it out pretty good, and then this last week they're going to get it all up and gone.
Thank God.
For the WNBA Finals. Could brush that under the rug and be finished with it. One other thing, college hoops. Kansas, number one in the preseason AP Top 25 poll. Alabama, UConn, Houston, and Iowa State round out the top five. I did see that Indiana was number 17. It's college basketball time now, Scotty. Are you ready? I can't believe it. It's right around the corner.
I like the Dodgers. I think Muncy hit a home run, 6-1. Yeah. I think I like college football, frankly. I know people think I'm crazy. I like it better than pro football. I like the pomp, circumstance, the bands, the cheerleaders, the crowds, the tailgating. Everything about it is, to me, more exciting, more colorful. I think pro football is badass. I love it. It's hard to bet. I think college is better for bettors. And I think college basketball is awesome. I love it. I like college basketball and NBA equally. I love all of it. It's definitely too early for college basketball. It is college football season. I don't care about college basketball at all. But I will say this. Good luck stopping Cooper Flag. Good luck. I don't care what they're ranked. I don't care what anyone thinks. No one will be able to stop that kid from doing whatever he wants. I think they'll play for a national championship.
That is interesting. You're right. For Duke, of course, having Cooper Flag, he is going to be very difficult to stop. They rank seventh, Duke, as I pulled it up real fast.
They
were
number seven
in the initial.
Good him.
I'm going to do the rest in the leftovers. One other basketball thing that I didn't put on the list, and I'm sure you did see it, though. Did you see the DiVincenzo stuff at the Garden last night?
Yeah.
With him on the free throw line, going at kind of saying something to Tibbs, and then him and Brunson's father after the game kind of giving each other the business. That was very interesting with DiVincenzo.
I don't think anyone cares about Brunson's dad, and I definitely know no one cares about some white boy, Italian dude, arguing with the Knicks bench just because he played for the Knicks. I thought the whole thing was silly. No one's afraid of Dante. I mean, like, honestly, who's afraid of the white guy? No one.
Do the rest. I got a couple of other things, including something I forgot before that I wanted to get to you on Hassan Reddick. We'll do it in the left
Okay.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Absolutely no one does or enjoys leftovers more than Carver High.
Indeed, that's for sure. All right, I wanted to circle back to this, of course, Jets-Bills tonight at MetLife for Monday Night Football. Hassan Reddick, of course, as we know, has not been there all year. And we actually hadn't heard much for the last few weeks. I guess everybody just figured we'll see you next year. Last week, his agency, CAA, parted ways with him. Story over the weekend said that was because Reddick turned down a revamped one-year offer from the Jets that would have included a significant raise. And after he turned that down, CAA said, all right, well, we're done with you. You obviously don't want to play football. Reddick is now hired today, it says, Drew Rosenhaus and Ryan Matha, who have already begun to speak with the Jets. They are at the game tonight as well. So maybe, Scotty, there's going to be some traction now with some new representation for Hassan Reddick with the New York Jets. They could use him.
Drew gets deals done. That's just all there is to it. I've known him forever. He'll get it done.
I agree with you. He will get it done. The Black Desert Championship out in Utah.
Black Rock.
This past weekend. The Black Rock Classic was won by PGA rookie Matt McCarty.
Who?
In his third career PGA start. This guy just got promoted from the Korn Ferry Tour where he won PGA card eligibility. And then he wins in Utah in his third start. That's a hell of a way to kick things off for that kid, McCarty.
In the lava pits.
At the lava pits. That was, I'll tell you, I hope they go there every year. That was a cool course.
What a
golf
course.
It was a very fun course to watch out there in Utah. Here we go again. Conor McGregor. Didn't we do this like on Friday or Thursday?
Yes.
We did this.
But it was
Conor
other
McGregor
fighters.
Teases a comeback fight. This time, though, not the names we mentioned the other day. I actually watched this interview, some guy following him down some crowded hallway where he yelled out Dan Hooker in February, that he's going to fight Dan Hooker in Saudi Arabia in February. He did have a lot of details. Of course, the UFC has not confirmed any of this, but that is allegedly the next time he's going to allegedly fight is February again. Dan Hooker.
Did you see him? He got into an incident at the bare knuckle. He grabbed some chicks by the hair or something.
I did not see that.
He got involved in a fight. He was in the middle of it. He's just always in the middle of something. It's just crazy. I don't know if you saw that. The Terbiev fight with B-Ball. He got robbed. A unanimous decision. That was the worst boxing decision I have seen in years. B-Ball won that fight. I think they should demand a rematch. The judges were awful. He got his ass beat.
Sounds like a typical boxing result. Shady. There was something shady with it.
It was real shady. Slim Shady. It was awful.
There you go. There's the left.
For all the finish, UNC wide receiver Tylee Kraft passes away at 23 after a 2.5-year battle with cancer. The annual wife carrying championship attracts competitive couples to Maine. Guys running with their wives carrying them in a race. I have seen it all, Carver High. I do not want to carry 34C anywhere. I really don't. NASA filmmaker claims evidence of alien life will be revealed within the next month we will finally see that there are aliens, according to a NASA filmmaker, a Wisconsin teacher accused of making out with an 11-year-old student, allegedly traded 33,000 explicit sexting texts with him. 33,000 texts with an 11-year-old who she also made out with. I have seen it all. Phony New York City repairmen duct tape a man's hands in a daring home invasion, and they steal a safe with 30 grand in it. Strong effort there, Carver High, with the duct tape. Duct tape works on everything, including robbing people. Qantas Airlines plays a sexually explicit movie. It's called a porno on every single screen of every seat during a flight, and then had to apologize for running the said porno during the flight. I thought it sounded like a fantastic idea for a long international flight, a good porno on the seat in front of you, trying to fly across the world, always tough. A babysitter charged after a one-year-old boy was mauled to death by her pit bulls. Her dogs ate the one-year-old baby. GTD is next. You've got to go to PharrellOnABench.com. If you've ever not done it, do it today. Believe me, go check it out. We'll see you tomorrow at 3 on Coast to Coast.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.